One of the most famous halachas in Shulchan Aruch is Chayv Inish Levesum Bepurye. A person has an obligation to become spiced, literally to become drunk on Purim, Ad Dolo Yoda, until he's not able to make the distinction Ben Oro Homon Baruch Mordechai, between curse is Homon and bless is Mordechai. Now, anyone who's learned the Megillah obviously knows that Haman was a good one and Mordechai was a bad one, right? Okay, I can stop drinking. Everyone knows who was a good and who was bad. In other words, you know, in order for a person to actually get it wrong and actually believe that Mordechai was bad and Haman was good, or Haman Baruch Mordechai, and who to bless and who to curse, you've got to be very, very far down the line. But the honest truth is, unless we get it very, very clear who Haman was and who Mordechai was, then we don't even know why Haman was Oro and why Mordechai was Baruch. We have to understand clearly who Mordechai was, who Haman was, and only then we can start making a distinction between who's cursed and who's blessed, and why they're cursed and why they're blessed and why you should get mixed up. So let's get it very, very clear. Let's try and define clearly who these two people were and how they differed in what they did. The Gemara says Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where do we have the source for Haman in the Torah? So the pasuk says, the Gemara answers, "Hamin ha'etz hazeh." Hamin ha'etz hazeh is talking about when the Nochosh was speaking to Adam and Chava with regard to eating from the Eitz Hadas. So the Nochosh says, "Hamin ha'etz hazeh," from this tree. Now, "Hamin ha'etz hazeh," the "Hamin" can be read as Haman. Yeah, Haman. So that's the source. Hamin ha'etz hazeh. Mordechai, where did he get Mordechai from? So on the week's parasha, it talks about the Ketores, and one of the Ketores is Mordoroyer. One of the Ketores is Mordoroyer, and Mordoroyer is a translated unclus is Mordachia. Mordachia is Mordechai. Now, I know we're talking about Purim, and you know it's all very nice and it's Megillah and all within the season. But what on earth has that one thing got to do with Haman, one thing got to do with Mordechai? Hamina Eitz Hazeh, Haman. You know, it almost sounds like a Purim Torah. And you got Mordechai, you got something which you translated in some kind of herb. Right, that's Mordechai. So we found a remez. Come on. Remez has got to be something real. It's got to be something actually connects with the person himself. You know, Hamina Eitz Hazeh, Haman. It's the same letters. But it doesn't sound more than a Purim Torah. What's the connection? What strikes it home? But this is really what's talking about. So I saw many, many years ago from a Valdigabala Musa, I forgot who it was, and he says like this. Who was Haman? Haman was a self-made man, financially. Haman was somebody who ultimately, I mean, he was an Eved, and it's brought down that he's so poor that he's in the middle of the desert, he sold himself to Mordechai, and then Mordechai carried on his back, he showed him the Shtar Chuyuv, he had a document inside the bottom of his shoe, yeah, and he showed it to Haman, that he's his Eved, a whole thing. In other words, Haman started off from nothing, and he made it very, very, very big. So big that he was able to bribe the king that was the greatest, most powerful, most probably the most powerful in the world, the monarchy and the strength of that particular, what's it called?
Empire
was so powerful that there's 127 Medinas. Mohodavat Kush basically means the entire world. Mohodavat Kush is not between A and B, it's between B and A. It goes all the way around to exactly where it started from. It was the entire world. And he was able to bribe the king to do what he wants. And that's the kind of powerful man he was. That was Haman. Unbelievably powerful. He was able to bribe the king. Having said that, Haman had it all. Not only did he have money, he had power. He had people, Kerem Mishtachavim. Kerem Mishtachavim means literally bowing down. Head over heels over Haman. Not only Goyim, but Yidden. Yidden, he made himself into a little god. And people bowed down to him. And Mordechai was the only person who didn't bow down to him. One person in the entire world decided not to get pulled down and to be sucked in to this fantastically awful fear of Haman. One person, that was it. Everybody else was totally, totally given over to Haman. Now, what did Haman say? Haman goes through with everything. and he gets everything exactly in place, but he comes home and he says, "V'kol zeh einenu shavli, it's worth nothing to me. All this, everything I have, is worth nothing. Why? Because Mordechai doesn't bow down to me." You have the whole world. You have people Kerem Mishtachavim. You're the second most powerful man in the entire world. Everything, the vice president of the world's biggest empire. You're a multimillionaire. You have wife, you have 10 sons. Everything is going well. Yeah, but there's one man who doesn't bow down to me. Calls there, and then the shoveling. Nothing's worth anything to me. That was Haman. That is Taiva. Taiva, when a person has a Taiva, when a person has a desire, has a hunger, then nothing fulfills it because everything he has just creates more of a Taiva. It's like drinking salt water. And therefore, until he's totally conquered everything he could possibly have, he's still thirsty, he's still hungry. That was Haman. Kol zeh einenu shavli, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry, I've got everything I need, but there's one thing I need, and therefore I'm starving. I need Mordechai. And if I don't have Mordechai, kol zeh einenu shavli, nothing's worth anything to me. Rabbi Yisai, where else do we find in history the same kind of situation? Adam and Chava were living in Gan Eden. Literally living in Gan Eden, living in paradise. They had everything. They didn't have to work. They didn't even have in-laws. Nothing. Unbelievable. What better life could that possibly be? Nothing. What a wonderful life. Gan Eden Mikedem. Yeah, like the old time Gan Eden. What else could he wish for? And they're living there a wonderful, wonderful existence. But you know what? There's one thing they couldn't have. What was that? The Eitz Hadas. Hamin ha'Eitz Hazeh. So the Nachash, you can't have from this tree. You've got to have from this tree too. That was Haman. Haman in Atayim Minayin. Where do we find a situation that actually identifies the personality of Haman? Hamin ha'Eitz Hazeh. You can have entire Gan Eden. You can't have from one tree. Kol zeh einenu shavli. Nothing's worth anything for me until I have that taiva. That is Haman. That is what it represents. Haman represents totally a dedication to himself, not caring about anything else besides himself. And if he cannot get everything he wants, he has nothing. That is Haman. The Darkei Musar, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, says a beautiful, beautiful understanding. He says, why is it that just on Purim there's a deal of Mishloach Manos? Mishloach Manos. You got to give to other people. It's a dinner for Tolosi of Yoinim. Other Yoin Tovim as well, we find an idea of helping people, Kimcha de Pischa, giving. But we don't find the main din of that day, the halachos of that day, is so involved in Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. Nothing. No, Pesach, okay, invite people into your home. Call Dichvan Yesh Vayechol, bring people in. But it's not a din of an etzen din of Hilchos Pesach. You know, it's not one of the dinim of Mitzvah Sayyim of Pesach to invite people in. It's chesed on Pesach, but it's not a part of Hilchos Pesach. On Purim, the halachos of Purim is Mishloach Manos. And the holding Mishloach Manos is only for Sudas Purim, that the poor people should have what to eat. And Matanah Sev Yoinim, what is it? Why are we suddenly so involved in Odom HaChaveroi? Says Rav Yaakov Naiman, a beautiful understanding, he says that this, the Gemara says, why is Parshas Seita connected to Parshas Nozir? Says the Gemara, Koloroye Seita Bekulkuloi, Yazir Atzmi Menayayim. If a person sees how far wrong a person can go by drinking wine, they will completely separate themselves from wine. In other words, the whole idea, the whole concept of socializing and drunkenness and lightheadedness causes a Sota to go along her evil ways. And therefore we see a Sota doing all these terrible things. I want nothing to do with wine. I want to separate myself. I'm out of here. Finished. I'm making myself a Nazir. Anyone who sees the effects of how bad a vera can cause a person to do, Yazir Atzminayayin, separates himself from wine. The Alter from Kelm once was walking in the street and he saw a renowned Talmud Chochem lying in the gutter. And while he was drunk, lying in the gutter, he was spewing forth Torah. He was spewing forth Torah, Divrei Torah, Gemaras, Mishnayos, Baal Peh, spewing forth Torah. And the Alter asked, who's this man? He said, Nebuch. He's a Talmud Chochem who became an alcoholic. And, you know, Lebuch, his family left him and his kids left him. And all his only pleasure in life today is a bottle of whiskey. So the Alter said then and there, if that is what whiskey can do to a Talmud Chochem, I'll make a neder never to ever to have whiskey on my table. A person who sees how far taiva can bring a person, then he completely separates himself from it. Says of Yaakov Naimun, look at Haman. Haman had everything he wanted in the world, just one thing he didn't have. Didn't have Mordechai bowing down to him. And what did he want to do? Who did he want to kill? He wanted to kill Mordechai. Right? Mordechai deserves to be killed. But no, he doesn't want to kill Mordechai, but anyone who's Am Mordechai, anyone who's a nation of Mordechai, he'll kill too, because he's part of Mordechai's nation. Says Chazal, look at this. We have one person who doesn't bow down to him. Haman's willing to kill an entire nation. Anoshim v'noshim v'taf. Men, women and children. Why? Because of a bit of taiva. Why? Because of the concept of I need everything for myself, for selfishness. If a person can kill an entire nation because of selfishness, we got to make a special takana. We got to make special halachos of Purim that counter selfishness, that engender generosity. That is what we have to do. Because we've got to make a stand and be yazir asumim min hayayin. We've got to make a stand and show that unless a person works in generosity, unless a person cares about somebody else, you can turn into a homo. That is why we have dafka on Purim. When you're fighting somebody who is selfish, we fight it with generosity. That is why we have dafka mishloach manos and matanos yevonim dafka on Purim. To show, to distance ourselves from somebody who is as selfish as that, who can just kill an entire nation just because one of his small tithes has not been fulfilled. We care and look out for the other people. The Gemara brings down that Haman gave, the Apostle says already, Haman gave 10,000 kikar kesef. So the Gemara says in Megillah, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Tosef already works it out, that the 10,000 kikar kesef corresponds to a half a shekel for every person who should be giving it machzis a shekel. Okay? So Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Haman, you idiot, you're trying to give Achashverosh 10,000 kikar kesef to wipe out my nation. I already gave a mitzvah a few years back, quite a few hundred years back, dealing with a mitzvah of machzis a shekel. It's too late. So very nice, it's machzis a shekel, it's kikar kesef, worked out the same amount. What's the connection? So the Yismach Yisrael, Alexander Rebbe, says something very beautiful. He says, why did a Kodesh Baruch Hu give a command to give half a shekel? Why not a whole shekel? Give a whole shekel, you know. The idea of half a shekel is always constantly to remind you that by yourself, you're incomplete. You need somebody else with you and to connect with you to complete yourself. A Jew by himself, however great he is, he's a half a shekel. You go with somebody else, you come into one entity. You come into one unity, creates a real entity. That is why you have a half a shekel. Haman knew how to speak Lashon Hara. Haman said, "I'm a fuzim afurim kol amim bein amim." You got a nation that is dispersed. Nation have no, they have no concepts b'chlal of, unfortunately, of unity. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, they do. Right now, there may be some sichsuchin. There may be some, you know, some arguments and some fights within Klal Yisrael. But years ago, I've trained them how to become together. I've trained them with the Hilchus Shkolim that they should understand and appreciate that every person standing by himself is incomplete. You've got to have somebody else to complete you. That is why the Shekel, the mitzvahs of Machzis Shekel, overrode what Haman did, and that's what happened later on. Klal Yisrael all got together, and all did tshuva together, and they put away their petty differences, and became one nation, and ultimately Klal Yisrael was saved. That was the idea of how Haman represents ultimately selfishness. That was Haman. Okay? So Haman is somebody who had the whole world, but not having one thing, he had nothing. Kolzen and a shoveli. Who was Mordechai? So the Gemara says, Shokul Mordechai b'doyrei k'moshe b'doyrei. Mordechai, what in his generation was like Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. And the Apostle brings, what's the connection? So this is unbelievable, and things unfortunately haven't changed very much. The Ramban says in many places that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu stuck his neck out. All the way from the very beginning, Moshe went to help Klal Yisrael when he was a prince, and he had to run away because he killed somebody, and he came back to Mitzrayim to help Klal Yisrael. He went up into the mission in Shemayim 40 days and 40 nights and eat anything to help Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu stuck his neck out again and again and again and again. What did Klal Yisrael say? He's not doing it for us. He enjoys it. It's for his own covet. Things haven't changed. Yeah, this is for his own covet. Just for his own covet. In fact, such an extent that by the Egel, they thought Moshe Rabbeinu died. Were there any hespedim? Does it say anywhere in the Torah that they cried that Moshe Rabbeinu died? Not at all. You know what? They made a new god, as it were, and they started dancing and singing around it. You know why? Because who needs him? It's all for himself. We'll make our own god now. We don't need this fellow who needs it for his own covet. They had absolutely no respect for Moshe Rabbeinu at all, because they felt he was doing it for his own covet. What happened? Where did Moshe Rabbeinu show that ultimately he was doing it for them and not for himself? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael, I'm going to wipe out, and I'll make the whole Klal Yisrael from you. The perfect, perfect opportunity for somebody who's selfish. Wipe out all my foes and start for myself. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Chas v'Shalom, if you want to wipe out Klal Yisrael, Mechini no Misefrecha, wipe me out first. I don't want nothing to do with this. That was where they showed, and he stuck his neck out and he showed that ultimately everything he was doing was not Chas v'Shalom for himself, but for Klal Yisrael. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did Mordechai do the same thing? Late on the parasha, later on the Megillah, right at the end, right at the one of the last psukim, he says that Roiv Echov, he was popular amongst most of his brothers. Why most of his brothers? Not Kol Echov, not all his brothers, because some of them separated themselves from him. Why? They were jealous. The Sanhedrin. Discussion with the Sanhedrin, but according to most Mephoshim, their poshut couldn't take them that Mordechai was so successful. Now, 1 second. Mordechai saved their life. Beruchnius ubegashmius. He saved a physical life, telling them not to go to the base mishter. He saved their life physically, that he saved them, literally saved their life. And you know what? He's all doing for his own covet. Not interested in that. Yeah, he's all doing it in order to get himself a better medical policy on job working under Achashverosh. How did he prove that ultimately he was doing it for them? The end of the pasuk. Doyresh toiv l'chol zaroi. Any one of his enemies, he was doyresh toiv l'chol zaroi. He seeked out the good for all of Klal Yisrael. Every single one of Klal Yisrael. It didn't matter whether they liked him or they didn't like him. He seeked out the good in every single one. Where Haman stood for himself, he was self-centered. Mordechai was the exact opposite. People who hated him, he loved them back. People who wanted to do bad to him, he did good to them. It made no difference whether you're a friend or foe of Mordechai. To Mordechai, it's all the same. Doyresh toiv l'chol zaroi. Every single one in Klal Yisrael, he had a soft spot for. Every single one in Klal Yisrael, he's willing to be moiser nefesh for. That was Mordechai. Totally given over to the public good and not worried about his own covet. In fact, Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai love other similarities. It says, Shokul Mordechai Kamoshe. Mordechai was Shokul, was the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Gaya Geirim. Moshe was Megaya Geirim. Mordechai Gaya Geirim. He said, Olam Yisyadu, that all became Geirim, all the Geirim came in that time. Moshe Rabbeinu Kiblu Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah down for Klal Yisrael. Mordechai Kiblu Torah. Mordechai got the Torah for Klal Yisrael. But, says the Medrash, there's one difference. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah for Klal Yisrael, but kfir, he forced him to do it, and Mordechai did it Barotzen. And Mordechai, when he did it, it was all done Barotzen. Now, what's it got to do with it? Says Ksav Sofer, beautiful vort, Mor Deroyer. What is Mor Deroyer? So Mor Deroyer is one of the herb, is one of the thing for the smile. Mor Deroyer, you know what Deroyer means in Hebrew? What's Deroyer mean, Benzi, in Hebrew? Dror means, it comes from free.
Yeah, free.
Free, yeah, draw. What does more dror mean? Free, more. What does free more mean? What does it mean? What does free more, what does that mean? More, by the way, is the name of an animal. And this animal can be domesticated, and it can be out in the wild. The spice that we want to use, for what we want to use in the Torah, was a more dror, the free spice. In other words, the spice that grows out in the open, not domesticated. Why? Because it smells better. The smell, the animal that grows out in the open and is not domesticated and not cooped up and lacking liberty is far, far more of a greater level of fragrance than one that's cooped up and looked down and locked down by the people looking after it. That was Mordechai. Mordechai ultimately had the power. Mordechai could have actually made Jewish policemen go around and make sure everyone keeps kashrus. You know, people go around shul that they know the tefillin police. Do you ever been stopped by the tefillin police in shul? They walk up to you and, like, right in front of you, they look straight in your eyes and move your tefillin. You haven't seen these people? And, or you get the, you know, you get a different police. And Mordechai could have put down absolute law. Torah law. Finished. Why? He's second in command. What did Mordechai do? So Mordechai did it with ultimately with love and compassion. And you know why? Says the Mephorosis of the Ksav Sofer. He became a Mishnah Lemelech. Mordechai, the Pasuk says, was a Mishnah Lemelech. Gevaldig Ksav Sofer. Absolutely beautiful. He says, Ki Mordechai Hayhudi Mishnah Lemelech. Mordechai Yehudi was second in command. The Melech HaChashverosh. The God the Eli Yehudim. And he was ultimately a very popular person for Klal Yisrael. If that was the case, why did he not put down martial law? Why did he not say everyone's got to actually keep the Torah? And that is what the Sanhedrin wanted. Din! Go along and force everyone to keep it. No. I want to do it a different way. Therefore, Verot Zilaroiv Echov, son of Sanhedrin, separated from him. They were not happy with his diplomacy. They wanted him to put down martial law. Everyone's got to keep the Torah. But that wasn't his shitter. He was somebody who worked b'ne'imus. He worked mor d'ror. He did not keep the spice of keeping people penned up and locked up and forcing them to be somewhere. He wanted to go slowly. Show people the love of Torah. Show people the wonderful clarity of how Torah can actually change a life in a positive way. That was Mordechai. Mor d'ror. He was this free animal of that gives out a more fragrant spice when it is freed rather than being cooped up. That was what Mordechai represented. He represented doing good for people and doing it in the best possible way that they should appreciate it. It would be much easier for him to everyone keeps the Torah, just forcing them to do it. That would be the selfish way of dealing with it. You know, keep the Torah, not my Christ anymore, don't like it, tough. That wasn't Mordechai. Mordechai was murderer. He was the liberated animal. He was the animal that gave it more fragrance. I want to teach Klal Yisrael in the most beautiful way. That was something that showed his selflessness. That he's willing to work harder to show Klal Yisrael and educate them in the correct way that it should be absolutely positive that Yiddishkeit is for them. That was Mordechai. This must go on working. There are many, many other diyukim in the pasuk. I just want to go through a couple of them. The Alshir says, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi. Now, what's HaYehudi? Ki Mordechai, what's HaYehudi? Yehudi means he comes from Yehuda. The Shevet of Yehuda. Ultimately, who's king now? Yehuda, are you king or am I king? Where did Mordechai come from? Ishimini. Does not mean he's a right winger. Yeah, Ishimini does not mean he's right wing. Ishimini means he was come from a Shevet of Binyamin. Right? Say he was Binyamin. Said no. Malchus is Yehuda. Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai, he's still from Yehudi. Mishneh LeMelech HaChashverosh. Who is he the Mishneh LeMelech? Who was he the second in command to? To one person. LeMelech HaChashverosh. The only person he worked as if he was second in command was to his governor, Achashverosh. I've got a job to do. I'll work for you the best I possibly can. LeMelech HaChashverosh. To anyone else, nobody even realized he was in control. He never controlled anyone else. He never used his power to entrap people, to force people to do things. V'god ola Yehudim v'rotz l'oriv echov. Rotz l'oriv echov. Rotz l'oriv echov, says the Farshim, Pirshu mimenu miksas Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin separated himself from him. What's Peshat? Says the Sholem Meshiv of Gevaldig Peshat. He says this. He said, if a person is in a regular class, well, at university, and suddenly he becomes very, very popular. You know, he becomes a world's authority in economics. He becomes a multi-millionaire. Okay? Two things will happen. One of two things will happen. Either he will separate himself from his friends, because he becomes a snob, and separates himself from his friends, or his friends will separate themselves from him, because they just feel inferior. And they don't feel that, you know, says a Mepharshim, who's separated from who over here? Mordechai was running the world. Mordechai was right up there in charge. Did he separate from the Sanhedrin? No! The Sanhedrin separated from him. They felt inferior. They felt that they weren't up to his league. they separated from him. That shows his gadlus. That shows his greatness. That he didn't separate from anyone. As far as he was concerned, it was exactly the same position he was all the way through. That was a koyach of Mordechai. He can add a tremendous power. The same power as Haman. And exactly everyone meant the same to him. His enemies, his friends, who he was with before, who he's with now. He didn't use his power to make people keep mitzvahs. He just educated them in a way that's going to bring them the emus. That was Mordechai. There's one amazing pasuk in this in the time of Gittes Esther that showed how Mordechai worked. Now this pasuk, if a person understands this pasuk correctly, it should ring in your ears. This pasuk should ring in your ears. It rings in mine. My Rosh Hashiva, Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Avrocha, Rav Chaim Kaufman from Gateshead. I still remember him. I still shiver when he says this pasuk. He can say it over and over and over and over and over again. What is the pasuk of the entire Gittes Esther? What is the most powerful pasuk? He says like this. He says, Mordechai knew exactly what was going on, that he made it, he made this decree, he called Esther, and he said like this, Kim hachreish tachreish ibeis azois. Esther, if you're quiet now and don't put a good word into the king, revach vatzoloh, there'll be a redemption and a freedom. Yamoid la'yehudim emokim acher. Klal Yisrael will be freed somewhere else. Umi idea, and who knows? Uva'at ubeis ovich tevedun, and you and your family's home will be destroyed, be lost. Umi idea, and who knows? Im le'eis kazois higat lemalchus. Now, what's pshat im le'eis kazois higat lemalchus? Says Rashi and the Targum. Im le'eis kazois higat lemalchus means who knows if next year you'll still be queen. Im le'eis kazois, next year, this time, when they want to kill us, higat lemalchus, you'll still be queen. That's how Rashi and the Targum learn it. In other words, do something now, because who knows? You know, politics, things change. You know, it may not be in a coalition next year. Therefore, make sure you do something now. Who knows? Es kazois higat lemalchus. That's Rashi and the Targum. Says Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Isai, listen to this carefully. Umi idea, who knows? Shema lo yigat lemalchus. Maybe you never became great and became a queen. Elo bavur ha'eis hazois sh'teshia is Yisrael. Who knows that the whole reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu made this tremendous hashkocha protis, that Vashi should get killed and you should be chosen, you should become the queen, is only for one purpose. Im le'eis kazois igal malchus. If it's for this particular moment you've been chosen and put in this potential to actually go and save Klal Yisrael. Who knows? This may be a moment to shine. And if you don't use this moment, then somebody else will grab it and you and your father's home will be lost forever. You've lost your opportunity. Says the Bali Musa, Reb Chaim used to shout again and again and again and again. Rabbi Isai, when you have opportunity to do chesed, don't let it go. If somebody else does it, they'll take it away from you. Umi yodea, and who knows, in the eis kazoi sigat lemalchus. Who knows whether this is a moment that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you that you can become king in this moment? Who knows that with this particular ma'aseh that could be your tikkun? You can become in this world with all your koichos and all your nisyonos only that Kodesh Baruch Hu should give you this particular moment to grab on this chesed. You know, you've got someone knocking at your door. You can just ignore it or you can open the door. It could be this is the moment Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you to make the mesach and everything. Miyodem ke'es kazoi sigat l'malchus. That was the hashkofas achayim of Mordechai. Who knows if this is a moment that God will do chesed? I can't be selfish. I can't look at myself. This may be why I'm living in this world. Rabbi, does anyone know what happened to Mordechai after he retired? Now, let's understand this. Mordechai had a cushy job. Okay? He had a cushy job. He had a full dental. He had a full medical. He had a royal limousine at his beck and call. And what happened to him? How long did he stay in his job for? Anyone know? Good trivia question. 2 years. And then what happened to him? There's a Mishnah in Shkolim, Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph. When the Beis Midrash was rebuilt, Mordechai went and became in charge of the Kanim, of the birds in the Beis Midrash. He was selling the birds in the Beis Midrash. People needed birds. Torim B'nai Yonah needed birds for Korbanos. Who was a contact man? Mordechai. Mordechai, who's Mordechai? Petachio was, he understands everyone's language, says the Mishnah. He understood 70 languages. You spoke to him, he understood exactly what you're saying. He understood the language of every single individual. Didn't have to translate it. He understood exactly where you're coming from. That was Mordechai. Why did he work in birds? Rabbi Yisai, this is perfect. We said beforehand, why do you have a half a shekel? Because you have to know that you're incomplete unless you have two. There's never a korban in the Torah of a bird that comes in a single. You always have two. And therefore, that was Mordechai. Mordechai represented unity. Mordechai represented, I myself am nothing. I've got to work together with somebody else to create a kapara. To create a ruach, a nachas ruach, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, reach nichoyach, can only be done if it's done with somebody else. If it's used properly with matonas evyonim, mishloach monas, sitting by the table worrying about somebody else, then it becomes a yontiv. That was why he chose Dafka the birds, because it's the only time where you've got to have two in order to make a real unity, to make a reality. That was when Mordechai chose that particular job. Could have had any job. He had that job. Haman represents selfishness. Mordechai represents selflessness. Okay? There's a sur mira, there's separating myself from selfishness, and there's asei toiv, on it coming, worrying, and being concerned about the other person's welfare. Yom Kippur is all about Surah Mirah. Al Chait. Distancing yourself from Chait. It's a Surah Mirah. Purim is that Asay Toiv. Is actually doing the kind acts that bring people together, not just separating from the selfishness. It's actually connecting with other people. It's becoming selfless. You're working on actually taking your own money and buying somebody else lunch. That is Purim. Yom Kippurim, Kippurim, says Arizal. If you're lucky, Yom Kippur, the Sur Mirah, will look a little bit like that Asay Toiv on Purim. Now, that's the Sur Mirah, that's Asay Toiv. So that is the idea. The idea of Purim is to work on ourselves and get rid of the Homom by Asay Toiv, by doing things selfless. Becoming like Mordechai. Get rid of the Ora Homon and become a Baruch Mordechai. That is who you're supposed to be. There's a very, very interesting machlekas, the Chassidim and the Litvaks. I'm saying this Derech Melitza. I don't know whether this is Pshat, but you know, certainly for Purim Battle, it certainly makes it. There's a very big machlekas, honestly, there's a big machlekas between the Bali Musa and the Chassidim. What's Pshat Sur Mirah Vasei Toiv? The Litvaks learn Sur Mirah means learn Musa. Sur Mirah, distance yourself from the Ra, Vasei Toiv, and then do good. Because if I do good while I have the Ra in my hand, it's Toivul V'Sheretz B'Yodoy. I'm going to mikvah still holding a Sheretz. Get rid of the bad, separate yourself from the bad, and do good. That's how the Bali Musa learn. The Chassidish Derech of learning is Sur Mirah, how? By Vasei Toiv. Don't work on how bad you are and clap yourself al Ched and all that. So, just do good. And if you do good, automatically Sur Mirah is separate yourself from the bad. Sur Mirah, how? By Vasei Toiv, by doing good. But don't concentrate the Sur Mirah and then Vasei Toiv. Both of these Mahalchim are very complicated and very detailed. Perhaps, on Purim, when it's Or Homa Baruch Mordechai, what we're saying over here is, what Mahalach is your Mahalach usually? Is it an Or Homon? Is it concentrating on Sur Mirah? Or it could be a Baruch Mordechai guy, who could be somebody concentrating on Vasei Toiv, and then that's how the Sur Mirah is. Irrelevant how it is. You should add Dilo Yoda. A person should be so involved in spicing himself up. In other words, spice. Besume means Loshen, or Besume means to spice. What does it mean? The Chasam Sefer brings down, it's a Loshen of making something sweet. Sweetening the life of other people. Whether it's the Sur Mirah by Vasei Toiv, whether it's Or HaHomon by Baruch Mordechai, or Baruch Mordechai by Or HaHomon, it makes no difference. That is Purim, it's all about sweetening the life of other people, distancing ourselves from Homon by becoming a Mordechai, and that is the idea. The concept is Sur Mirah, Vasei Toiv, however you want to understand it. Sur Mirah means first distance yourself from Homon and then become a Mordechai, or become a Mordechai by... First, you can become A sumira by vasei toiv connecting himself to Mordechai. If you don't understand that, you don't have to drink. But if you do understand that, then you have to get so drunk and so good basume to understand ultimately life is all about looking out for the other people. It's about being selfless, working on us, working on chesed, working looking out for other people, understanding that a half a shekel is incomplete until I connect myself with somebody else. Understanding the biggest tshuka, the biggest the unity. The unity of ultimate unity is all about caring where I am in the picture. The difference between untied and united is where you put the eye. That's it. The only difference between unity and untied and united is where you put the eye. Where you put the eye, Haman put the eye right in the middle and everything calls in and a shoveli. Mordechai had enemies, it made no difference. Doirish tov al cholamoy. That is what we're working for on Purim. We work towards greatness, we work towards selflessness, and Be'ez Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be doirish tov al cholzaroy to us too.